Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Hey, Will. Guess who forgot the theme music for this evening? Yeah, this guy right here. Hey, James Bostic, a conservative perspective here on Blog Talk Radio Network, blogtalkradio.com. You go there and you can type in Patriot Nation Radio, and that's where we are on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. We do it live twice a week. Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern time. And I'm not exactly sure what happened there. I don't know.
You big dummy.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah, I know. Sorry about that. And I guess when I was programming the show and creating it this afternoon, I forgot to put in some music. So let's fix it.
You keep saying you got something for me, something you call love, but confess, you've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin'. And now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. Yeah. You keep lying when you ought to be truthing, and you keep losing when you ought to not bet. You keep saying when you ought to be a-changing. Now what's right is right, but you ain't been right yet. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. You keep playing where you shouldn't be playing, and you keep thinking that you'll never get burned. Just found me a brand new box of matches, yeah. And what he knows, you ain't had time to learn. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you. Are you ready, boots? Start walking.
Oh, yeah. Shake it, Nancy. Show them what mommy gave you. Okay. James Bostic here, conservative's perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network here at Blog Talk Radio. We've already been through all that stuff. And Gary, one of these days, my man, one of these days, you just wait and see. Golly, Nitz, there's so much going on, man. I hope everybody had a really good Labor Day weekend, the last weekend of summer. The last weekend of summer. I can remember back in the old timey days. Let me hit the mute button here. We'll be so glad when this allergy and hay fever season is over. Anyway, I remember back in the old-timey days, when I was a wee little nipper, you didn't go back to school until September. You didn't go back to school until after the Labor Day weekend. That was it. That was the last hurrah of summer. That Sunday night before Labor Day was the last Sunday night of the summer. You got to stay up late. It wasn't going to happen again until Thanksgiving, Christmas. It's a long time off, so we stayed up. And around here, the local NBC affiliate was WSAZ. And in those days, it was the it was that TV station that carried the Jerry Lewis Muscular Dystrophy Association telethon. And that was what we did. That was the ritual. We got our snacks together. We would go to Daryl's house. We would go to Mike's house. We'd come here. We would go, to my place back in the old-timey days, and we would stay up, and we would watch the Jerry Lewis telethon. And media in those days, you had the big three. You might have 13 stations on your telecable. This was before the cable box. This was before any of that. And if you wanted to see the stars, truly see the stars, that's where you went. All the big names did Jerry's telethon. Everybody. And we would try and stay up as late as we could to watch the telethon. I remember in 1976, and this was television history, and I was a witness to it. In the 1950s, in the late 1940s, after the war, and up to about the mid-1950s, Jerry Lewis had a really successful comedic partnership with Dean Martin. Dean was a great straight man. They had a radio show. They did television. They did movies. These guys were talented, mega talented, super duper stars. And the act fell apart. Jerry didn't think he was getting enough of what he should be getting comedically. Dean didn't think that, he was getting enough to satisfy himself as a straight man and was looking for more serious work. And so the act fell apart. They went their ways and they didn't speak for a long time. Well, in 1976, on the afternoon, Labor Day afternoon, that Monday afternoon, Labor Day, Frank Sinatra was on the telethon. Yeah, that Frank Sinatra, the chairman. And unbeknownst to Jerry, he brought Dean Martin with him and basically told Jerry, you know what? It's been long enough. You two guys, you need to make your peace. You need to kiss and make up. Dean, come on out. And Dean Martin comes on the stage. You got Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis, Ed McMahon over there waiting on the timpani roll for the new total. And right there, On national TV, on the Jerry Lewis Muscular Dystrophy Telethon, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis reconciled, and it was really a cool thing to see. So I hope you had a great Labor Day weekend. I want to start off with a guy that I think it was Sunday. His name's Chris Hayes, and Chris, he's an MSNBCer, I'm pretty sure. He's an MSNBCer, and he has, their shows are so ironically named. What's that guy's name? The George Costanza looking guy. Brian Setzer, Stray Cats, completely different Brian, way cooler, rockabilly rules. Brian Stelter. His show is called Reliable Sources. Oh my God. reliable sources. So Chris Hayes has his own show, and this week delivered, without a doubt, in recent memory anyway, one of the stupidest lines of contemporary cable news memory. Yeah, I'm going to go here. Yeah, I'm going to. I can't even remember the name of his show. I think it's called Balloon Juice Today. Anyway, Chris Hayes expounding upon the complexities of the Electoral College.
Democracies for. And the weirdest thing about the Electoral College is the fact that if it wasn't specifically in the Constitution for the presidency, it would be unconstitutional.
Mother of pearl. Yep, that's exactly right. Here it is again.
Democracies for. And the weirdest thing about the Electoral College is the fact that if it wasn't specifically in the Constitution for the presidency, it would be unconstitutional.
Piffle. Balderdash. Pshaw. Pshaw, I say. Now that the Electoral College, and this ties in with the left-wing poop for brains movement of, we don't need an Electoral College. That's a white man slave-holding, gun-grabbing, Bible-thumping, antiquated, archaic, totally unnecessary thing for today with electronic votes being so honest and so free of corruption. Well, what's going on here? Basically, it comes down to this. Now that the Electoral College no longer favors Democrats with the disintegration, basically the blue wall of states, which Democrats have traditionally or historically believed to have had a lock on, now they've suddenly embarked on this campaign to question the legitimacy of the Electoral College. When Donald Trump won Pennsylvania and Michigan and Ohio and Wisconsin in 2016, the Electoral College turned from a Democrat advantage to one favoring the GOP. And that, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the ships at sea, is all you need to know to understand the real basis of the rising chorus of media complaints against it. Chris Hayes, an Ivy League graduate of Brown University, may or may not have ever read the Federalist Papers that explain the logic of the Electoral College and the logic of the design of what we are, and that is, of course, a constitutional republic instead of a democracy ruled by a majority in all instances. He is definitely playing to a crowd that does not have a clue about these founding documents and which denigrate our history prior to 10 minutes ago as the product of dead white male slave owners, just like I said. What they're trying to do is deeply subversive to our constitutional order and therefore the ordered liberties that we enjoy. And Hayes is positioning that common legacy, that common legacy that we all have, as an unfair partisan advantage. Earlier in that broadcast, I don't have the quote, but he called the Electoral College an institution that has become sacred to Republicans. It is incompatible with our basic democratic commitment. It is incompatible with his progressive left-wing Marxist ideology. And now that government schools and most of higher education is in the hands of progressive ideologues, the coming generations are going to be highly receptive to idiotic arguments like Chris Hayes has made. Now, there's no chance, I really believe, that the left will be able to amend the Constitution
since too many states have their voices enhanced by the Electoral College. So this campaign really is aimed at undermining public support for the Constitution itself. Those who want government in charge of every aspect of our lives understand that the concept of limited government, which is embedded throughout the Constitution, is the major obstacle to their absolute power. And this idiot, Chris Hayes,
democracy's for. And the weirdest thing about the Electoral College is the fact that if it wasn't specifically in the Constitution for the presidency, it would be unconstitutional.
This guy's an idiot. No, seriously, this guy's an idiot. And you know what? I know there are times, and believe me when I say to you, listen to me now and hear me later. I am loath to say, well, you say it all the time. I know, but I am really loathed. I loathe you, Chris. I'm loath to say these things. Really, I am. I don't want to call anybody an idiot, but if you are, what do you do here? And these people, he's at Brown University. I don't know what that means, but Brown University, Ivy League school, so he spent a lot of money to learn how to bloviate this stuff, I suppose. So he's not a stupid guy. But he says stuff like this. Why? Well, there is a school of thought that would align Chris Hayes and those of his ilk, and there are many of them out there, with the useful idiots. I think it was Lenin. Lenin called them useful idiots. You know, we talked about Walter Duranty last week and all the buildup and all the positive PR he gave Stalin, while Stalin, through his failed agrarian reforms, targeting undesirables in various regions throughout the Soviet Socialist Republic and starving them to death. Walter Duranty from the New York Times said, anybody who says that is a liar. Stalin is a great man. He's a leader. He's a visionary. The people are happy. There's no famine. There's no starvation. Hell, there's not even any death. Stalin has cheated death. All Russians will live forever in their communist misery, and so they have. So we must assume that there is an intent here. If he's not stupid, if he's not an idiot, as I am wont to call him, then we have to look at it from the other perspective, and that is that he's not an idiot. So if he's not an idiot, why is he doing this? Well, we know why he's doing it. MSNBC, CNN, ABC, CBS, all the alphabets, and I'm going to toss Fox in there for the most part too. They're all part of the propaganda arm of the left. Not just the Democrat Party, the non-liberal left. You know, we say liberal today, and we toss it about with people like that idiot Lawrence O'Donnell. We talked about him last week. We say it, there I go again. We say it about Chris Hayes. All those people on the left, we lump them in as liberals. Well, guys, liberals were men like Thomas Jefferson. True thinkers. Benjamin Franklin. These people were liberals. There are no... Who is the great liberal thinker today? I'll wait. Who? Barack Obama? Joe Biden? the leaders of Antifa, of Black Lives Matter, of CARE, of the Muslim Brotherhood? Where are the great liberal thinkers? Said there are none, because liberalism in its classical sense, in its truest definition, is dead, much like journalism, deader than 4 o'clock. And in its place, we have this progressive Marxist leftist ideology. These people don't care about the poor, as much noise as they make. They don't care about the poor. They don't care about the indigent. They don't care about blacks. They don't care about minorities in general. They damn sure don't care about illegal aliens. Although, they're awfully good. And the LGBT, BBQ crowd, they wrap themselves up in all these different identities, all these people crying for recognition, and not just recognition, special recognition. They don't want equality, they want superiority. And the left, the Nancy Pelosi's, the Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi does not even know what time it is. Chuck Schumer couldn't run a lemonade stand. Jerry the Jowls Nadler couldn't find his behind with both hands. And that's saying something, because if you've ever seen a full-size picture of Jerry the Jowls Nadler, he's got a pretty spacious backside. Should be easy to find. And he can't do it. Cory Booker? Are these the great Democrat thinkers? Julian Castro? The Jalatino, that says transgender men should be able to get abortions. You melonhead, they can't even get pregnant, for crying out loud. But he believes that so they wrap themselves up in these people because they got to pander. They don't have anything. They got to pander. They got to promise everybody the moon and the stars for that vote. And these people don't get what they're promised. They give their votes, and then they're sandbagged. They're stonewalled. They don't care about these people. They just care about the vote. And the reason they care about the vote is because they care about power. That's all they care about. That's all the left cares about, power. Maintaining what they have, looking to expand it. Power. They don't care about gay people. They don't care about black people. They don't care about Latinos. They don't care about the poor. They don't care about anybody. They care about power. And that's the problem that the Constitution, in this particular form of the issue of the Electoral College, but within all the various fundamental amendments of the Constitution, it represents limits. The government does not guarantee our right to bear arms. That's not what the Constitution says. What the Constitution says is that that right shall not be infringed upon by the government. If you remember in the Declaration, all men are created equal and are given basic inherent rights from God. The government doesn't guarantee or permit you to own weapons. The government is prevented from prohibiting you from owning weapons. And they've chiseled away at it here and there, and there have been certain provisions that have changed in terms of ownership. You know, in 1962, It was the year I was born. I just use that as an example. If it was a shotgun, a pistol, a rifle, bolt action, lever action, semi-automatic, didn't matter. You could order it through the mail, and it would be delivered to you. No background checks. You have to register it, but that's done at the time of purchase. Excuse me. 1980. Well, after the Handgun Control Act of 1968, that changed. And the only thing that's going to come through the mail today is black powder arms. Now, you can ship firearms, say for warranty work, from your home to the manufacturer, and they can ship it back to you once the repairs have been effected, that sort of thing. But to purchase a gun, can't do it. Can't order them through the mail. A black powder pistol, a rifle, musket, yeah, you can do that. But anything else, no. So the rights that we have and that are enumerated in the Constitution are not rights that are permitted by government. We have them. They are inherent. They are with us always, as they have always been with us. And the Constitution tells the government, you can't monkey with those, Hoss. I hope that helps some of you guys. So the Constitution. Prevents government from taking our rights. The government doesn't give us those rights. The Constitution prevents the government from taking them from us. And it is that bugaboo, the Constitution, that stubborn thing that Democrats, all Democrats, the Democrats on your county commission, the Democrats on your city council, the Democrats in your state legislature, the Democrats in Washington, D.C., all of them despise the Constitution. Because it is the Constitution's constraints and restraints that prevent them from acting any more forcefully and decisively as they do. The Electoral College guarantees impartiality through the electoral process. Well, down at the bottom of the hour, I had no idea I was going to rave on the way I did. You are listening to A Conservative's Perspective here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network at blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio. That's where you go. And we have the link all over social media, so it's easy to find the Patriot Nation Radio Network. We do it live Tuesdays, Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we will be back with more of ACP right after this.
This is the city. Los Angeles, California. Some people rob for pleasure. Some rob because it's there. You never know. My name's Friday. I'm a cop. I was working the day watch out of robbery when I got a call from the Acme School Bell Company. There'd been a robbery.
There's been a robbery.
Yes, sir. What was it?
My clappers.
Your clappers?
Yeah, you know those things inside a bell that makes them clang?
The clangers.
That's right. We call them clappers in the business.
A clapper caper.
What's that?
Nothing, sir. Now, can I have the facts? What kind of clappers were stolen on this caper?
They were copper clappers.
And where were they kept?
In the closet.
Uh-huh. You have any ideas who might have taken the copper clappers from the closet?
Well, just one. I fired a man. He swore he'd get even.
What was his name?
Claude Cooper.
You think he...
That's right. I think Claude Cooper copped my copper clappers. Kept in the closet.
You know where this Claude Cooper is from?
Yeah. Cleveland. That figures.
That figures.
What makes it worse, they were clean.
Clean copper clappers.
That's right.
Why do you think Cleveland's Claude Cooper would cop your clean copper clappers kept in your closet?
Only one reason.
What's that?
He's a kleptomaniac.
Who first discovered the copper clappers were copped?
My cleaning woman. Clara Clifford.
That figures. Now let me see if I got the facts straight here. Cleaning woman Clara Clifford discovered your clean copper clappers kept in a closet were copped by Claude Cooper, the kleptomaniac from Cleveland. Now is that about it?
One other thing.
What's that?
If I ever catch kleptomaniac Claude Cooper from Cleveland who copped my clean copper clappers from kept in the closet...
Yes?
I'll clobber him.
I love Jack Webb, okay? The dude was a genius. As far as I'm concerned, in radio and television, Webb was up there with Orson Welles. Just absolute genius. And alliteration, kids... is tough. And what those two guys did was an excellent example of alliteration. Oh, well, where are we at now? Oh, yeah. Hang on.
Democracies for. And the weirdest thing about the Electoral College is the fact that if it wasn't specifically in the Constitution for the presidency, it would be unconstitutional.
Blah, blah, blah. Okay, and here's the thing. One of the left's best tricks is they like to try, like any politician, to complicate the simple, and how do I say this? And simplify the obvious. And they do it with stuff like this. And it's not that it's necessarily an esoteric or an exotic thing, the Electoral College. But the truth of the matter is, up until a couple elections ago, I didn't fully understand it myself. And it's easy to find out about, and we're going to talk about it a little bit now. The founding fathers established Electoral College in the Constitution as a compromise between election of the president by a vote in Congress and an election of the president by a popular vote of qualified citizens. Now, what I'm getting ready to share with you, I wouldn't bet a whole lot, but I would probably go about $15-$20 that Chris Hayes does not know or understand what we're getting ready to talk about. The Electoral College process consists of the selection of electors and the meeting of the electors where they vote for president and vice president and the counting of the electoral votes by Congress. Now, the Electoral College consists of 538 electors. The majority, a majority rather, of 270 electoral votes is required to elect the president. Your states, your individual states, entitled allotment of electors equals the number of members in its congressional delegation. So you have one for each member of the House of Representatives plus two for your senators. Now, under the 23rd Amendment of the Constitution, the District of Columbia is allowed three electors and treated like a state fundamentally for the purposes of the college. Not dead air, just getting a drink. Each candidate running for president in your state has his or her own group of electors. And the electors are generally chosen by the candidate's political party, but state laws vary on how the electors are selected and what their responsibilities are. The presidential election, of course, held every 4 years on the Tuesday after the first Monday in November. You help choose your state's electors when you vote for president, because when you vote for your candidate, you're actually voting for your candidate's electors. Now, a lot of states, most actually, have a winner-take-all system that awards all the electors to the winning presidential candidate. However, Maine and Nebraska each have a variation on this. Now, after the presidential election, your governor prepares a certificate of ascertainment listing all the candidates who ran for president in your state along with the names of their respective electors. The certificate of ascertainment also declares the winning presidential candidate in your state and shows which electors will represent your state at the meeting of the electors in December of the election year. Then your state's certificates of ascertainment are sent to Congress and the National Archives as part of the official records of the presidential election. Now, the meeting of the electors takes place on the first, only the government, on the first Monday after the second Wednesday in December after the presidential election. So the middle of December, right before Christmas, in other words. The electors meet in their respective states. They cast their votes for president and vice president on separate ballots. Your state's electors' votes are recorded on a certificate of vote, which is prepared at that meeting, and then they're sent to Congress and the National Archives as well. Then the votes are counted in a joint session of Congress on the 6th of January, and members of the House and the Senate meet in the House chamber to conduct the official tally of the votes. The vice president, as president of the Senate, presides over the count and announces the results of the vote. The president of the Senate then declares which persons, if any, have been elected president and vice president of the United States. The president takes the oath of office. He's on his way to making America great again. The end. Now, that took us about 10 minutes to break down what the Electoral College does. It grants equality. It ensures fairness. Now, the Democrats would have you believe that the Electoral College is illegitimate unless you have a corresponding popular vote. In other words, the Electoral College is good only if the same person who won the presidency by the Electoral College wins the presidency by popular vote, and that is not always the case. It's very clear, it's very cut and dry. It works beautifully and has worked beautifully since its implementation. There you go. That's it. The Democrats would have you believe that it is not the will of the people, the Electoral College, that is. Well, it's very much. It's very much the will of the people, and it is the will of the people on a state-by-state basis. But it's easier to rig an election of popular vote than it is to rig the election in the Electoral College. And if the left knows anything at all, bet your butt they know how to rig an election. Just ask Bernie Sanders. Because here's what's going to happen. Bernie Sanders is going to get shafted again. He's going to make some money, and he's going to live out his days spewing this socialist, communist bile. But in 2020, Bernie Sanders is going to feel it again, just like he did in 2016, when more than likely Joe Biden, oh my God, or Elizabeth Warren secure the nomination. The establishment money is going to go with Biden. But when you got a guy that walks around with a pistol in each hand, shooting at his feet every day, you know, it's going to take some kind of a miracle for Joe Biden to win the nomination in spite of himself. And right now, you know, that's what's going on. So this is why the Electoral College is so important. And it has to be important, and it has to represent in some form some kind of an existential threat to the progressive ideology. Why? Because it is part of the Constitution, that same Constitution, which limits the authority of the government, which limits the power of the government, which provides us with the expansive, ordered liberties that we enjoy by limiting the power of the government. And the left is all about power. They are all up in the powerhouse. They love power. They want to keep it. They don't want anybody else to have it. They don't want to share it. And they want as much of it as they can get. They want to run your life. From your bedroom, through your living room, out to the grocery store, to your job, from the cradle to when they lay you back in the earth, the government wants something to say about all of it. And you know what? The government already has a lot of say about all that. And we're working to reduce that government say. And you know what? All we've got to do is look to the Constitution. And there are a number of our enemies who know the Constitution very well. We have to know it as well as they do, even better, because I guarantee you every single one of those chumps in Chris Hayes' audience, and I guarantee you every single one of those chumps was handpicked specifically for that. Think that Chris Hayes is telling the truth. They think that George Costanza is telling them the truth. They think Fredo is telling them the truth. They think Rachel Maddow is telling them. They think Lawrence O'Donnell is telling them the truth. And it doesn't matter how fantastic or wildly incredulous the statements are that these fools make. For example,
democracies for. And the weirdest thing about the Electoral College is the fact that if it wasn't specifically in the Constitution for the presidency, it would be unconstitutional.
I just want to walk up to him and give him one of the most slaps out of the Three Stooges and then wedgie him. I mean, I mean, deep thoughts from MSNBC's Chris Hayes. Well, I don't have time to get into, gee whiz. I was hoping to, but it doesn't look like we're going to. Another shooting in Texas, tragically, this week. When they say nothing other than it is a male or the shooter, you can guarantee that it's going to be something that's going to be detrimental to the left or the news media and the leftist ideology's narrative on gun control. This dude was a socialist. Well, first off, he's a wackadoodle. He's a moonbat. And then, as if to add insult to injury, he's also a socialist. He was a Bernie supporter, from what I have been able to find out. But more than anything else, he was a nut with a gun. And he shot up some people. He shot up a lot of people. And he created a lot of heartache and a lot of carnage in his town. And he was killed for his trouble. And I'm happy about that. I hope they shot him for a while, to be honest with you. Excuse me. And they haven't even picked the bodies up off the street. They haven't rinsed the blood off the pavement before Democrats and liberals and other nattering nabobs of negativity want to swoop in and start talking about taking away the rights of law-abiding citizens. It happens all the time. And I'm thinking, you know, and we're seeing it, we see them, you know, there's admittedly, there's been a frequency in these things, and it's been on the uptick since about 2008, 2012. And what changed? The guns are fundamentally the same. Revolvers are still revolvers. Semi-automatic pistols are still semi-automatic pistols. They're still 9mm. They're still 45. They're still 357 magnums. They're still 30-06. They're still .223s. They're still semi-automatic rifles. They're still pump shotguns and semi-automatic. Nothing's changed within that technology. A semi-automatic rifle today works just like it did in 1965, in 1955, during World War II. Doesn't matter. Still the same. So what changed? Well, the media over the last 15 years or so, 20 years, have begun to exploit these things, this suffering, this heartache, this carnage, and they're exploiting it for political gain. we hear about these mass shootings at a Walmart, and this one I think was in Odessa, Texas. We talk about them. The Aurora, Colorado theater shooting, most recent one in the last two here in Texas, within about a week or so of one another. And we hear all about them, and we hear about the shooter, and all of a sudden people find these manifestos, their thoughts, and they start bringing this up. Fifty-three people died in August from mass shootings. And that's an unusually high amount. The August death toll in Chicago was 46 murdered. These sorts of numbers happen every month of the year in Chicago. 539 dead in the year 2018 from shootings, from gun violence. Do we hear politicians talking about this? Are not those 539 dead in Chicago, are those lives less precious than the ones in Odessa, Texas? In Orlando at the Pulse nightclub? At a government employee, a city employee's Christmas party in San Bernardino? Do we hear politicians grieving about them? Aren't the families of those people that we just talked about, those 539 dead in Chicago, aren't the families of those victims just as devastated? Most of the victims in Chicago and Baltimore are black. Most of the murderers were too. So Black Lives Matter, I suppose, only when the police are involved or the perpetrator isn't black. Black on black crime. Oh, gosh, we got to wrap it up. Okay. They're not going to talk about the black kid at an Alabama high school football game that started spraying lead because it doesn't fit their narrative. They don't talk about the black on black violence that runs through Chicago because it doesn't fit their narrative. They don't care about violence. They care about their narrative and advancing their power. Like I've said all night, ACP heard here twice. Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, Penelope. Apparently, that's all the time we got. Heard here twice, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Sundays on Mojo 50 Radio, mojo50.com. They got apps everywhere, but you can go to the website. You can listen there as well. Apparently, that's all the time we have for now. We'll be back on Thursday. Lord willing, and the river don't rise, taking a look at things as we do through a conservative's perspective. God bless America. God bless you. We'll see you then.